Blog Talk Radio.
Morning to you, man. Morning to you, love. Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, in the name of our son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Thank you, Father, for leading and guiding us here once again on this rainy day, thundering and lightning, Father. Your word is still going to go forth. Father, we ask that you impart your spirit upon us, that we speak your word to your word and bring knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to your people, that we may see and understand your word a little more clearly, thereby coming a little more closer to you, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to dwell with us and sup with us, Father, as we continue to go through your word and learn the things that you would have us to learn. Father, bless all who are pondering after your word. Bless all who have an ear for your word. And bless all who don't have an ear for your word. And give them an ear for your word, Father. Let them come to know you. We ask that you comfort who needs to be comforted. Strengthen all who needs to be strengthened. And we thank you, Father, above all things, for forgiving us for our sins. Through your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. And it's in his name that we give you glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Jeremiah 110, once again. I'm your host today, Brother Daryl L. I'm here with Brother Mara L. And we're going to continue going through the word. Going through the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Some brothers are not here today. They be calling in, hopefully. I'm not real familiar with how to work the board, but yeah, I will be done. We're going to get it as much as we can. And get everything as much as we can. So, I believe we left off on verse 22, I believe. Let's see. You said? Okay. All right, yeah, we'll pick up at verse 27 and continue to bring forth some knowledge. And brothers, if you're listening, just call in. Yahweh will be done, right? Like I said, I'm not real familiar with the settings on this blog talk, and I don't know how to work the dashboard, but hopefully, you know, through our Father, he'll have mercy enough on me to let you beep in and chime in when it's time to beep and chime in. It'll be something highly noticeable. So, verse 27, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 27. And so far, we've been going through the curses, and we've talked about all the different curses, the inflammation, the brass over your head, all these things that we're getting for being disobedient. All right, verse 27, it reads, Yahweh will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emeralds and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst be healed. Yahweh shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. So you have three more in verse 28, three more curses, and it's just been building up, you know, how we spoke earlier, how these things just build up one on top of another. So the first one we come to is madness, and this word is in your Hebrew section number 7697. And this word is shigayon, and it means madness or craziness. And it comes from another word, number 7696, and that word is shagah, and it means to rave through insanity. So we look at our people, and by this time, by the time you get down to here, a lot of stuff been happened to the people. So now, insanity kicks in, because we've been through the inflammations, and we looked at the different ways of the inflammations, the different types of inflammation, how it pointed to various things that was happening in the community, you know. We've been through a lot of curses. So now we get into madness. Why? Because we are upset and stark raving mad that this won't stop. So you look at what's happening in some of the black community, in the black community. We're going mad, going crazy over police brutality. Now, police brutality has been going on for quite some time. You know, Martin Luther King wrote about it in the 60s. Marvin Gaye sung about it in the 70s. The rappers rapped about it in the 90s. So you're talking about generations that just keep on going on with this police brutality, and it's not stopping. So now you have people who are mad about it. So crazy and mad about these things that they think that they can get a gun and defend themselves. You know, you get a gun and defend yourself against the people who manufacture guns, that's crazy. You know, that's madness. That's not thinking. That's not thinking at all. And he says, with blindness. And this word, number 5788 in your Hebrew section, this word is Ivarion. And it means blindness. And it comes from another word, number 5787. This word is evar, which means to be blind. So with the madness comes the blindness. It's an old saying. People talk about when you, how anger blinds you, how being furious and this anger blinds you, where you only can see what it is, what you want to see, what your anger is about. You don't see a cure. You just see what your anger is about. So now you have a people who are going through all these curses. And now they're blinded because of their anger. But what are they blinded to? They're blinded to hope. They're blinded to the way out. Because Yahweh gave you the way out. He gave you, he told you how to reverse the curse, so to speak. He gave you the way out, but you're blinded to it because of all your madness, all your insanity. You've been engulfed. A lot of these things that are happening to us when you look at a lot of these curses are what they call works of the flesh. You know, because when you're dealing with madness and you're dealing with anger and being blind to something, now you're dealing with the flesh. Now you're not seeing any hope. Now you're not seeing a way out because your flesh has just taken over. And he says,
Shalom, family. I want to touch on a little bit about the madness, because madness is like a state of being mentally ill. And most of our people today, they is mentally ill, because I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and our people is like make everything an idol. It's like I had a conversation with a young fella this week, and he called me and asked me about some Michael Jordan tennis that's supposed to be coming out this week. And the madness about it is now they raffling them off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you was raffling. They was raffling the Michael Jordans off so you can get them. No, they're not raffling them off so you can get a pad. They raffle them off so your name can. They'll call you on the phone, and if your name is in a hat or whatever they have used, they will call you and tell you you is eligible to pick these Jordans up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. They ain't raffling off free Jordans. They just. Now they got the people mind controlled, and I got to fill out a raffle sheet to get a pair of Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so first of all, Michael Jordan was an idol. Now his tennis becoming an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's the madness of our people, and our people don't see how stupid that is. It's like I have to go through all this just to get some tennis?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is so special about these tennis that we have to go just got to have them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of things are I observe in the community also, and the man as far as men want to be with men,
mm-hmm.
and women want to be with women. It's mm-hmm. like, that's madness.
That's right.
It's like when I was growing up, it's like it probably been one beautiful girl in the neighborhood and like seven brothers trying to get one girl. Now it's guys look like who the finest guy is. You know, the guys is looking at how fine another guy is, and the same thing for the woman. The woman, you know, they will buckle on you and want to fight you over looking at another woman when the Most High say they don't even supposed to be together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the madness of our people. We think everything that the community and the government and everything has accepted, they want us to accept it too.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come out and we talk about the madness that they're doing, the people of the Most High is going to be the ones that put them in line, but everybody else is going along with the government actually thinking everything is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good thing you touched on that. I mean, but even look at what's going on in churches. You know, they have the movement where, and especially with the Episcopalian church, because they actually advertise it. Well, it's all right. Just come on in here and let's just accept everybody. And the word don't teach that. The word don't teach that you just accept this homosexual and he's okay to leave your service. And he's, you know, you got gay preachers. They got gay imams now. You know, the Muslims then started to accept it. It's spreading like wildfire, and it's like you said, it's madness because it goes directly against the God that they say they serve. You know, you're not going to sit up here and say to me, well, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, accepts this thing when he say he don't. you know. No, he says it's an abomination. This is something I hate. It's an abomination for a man to lay with another man. You know, it's an abomination for a woman to lay with another woman. These things are abominable acts to him. It's not acceptable. You know, and you're not going to sit there, well, God loves, he's loved. Yeah, he loves. He sure does. But that particular act, like you said, it just builds up. You go from the madness to the blindness. Now we blindly accept it. You know, it's cool to be gay. You know, it's fine because the government said it's cool. The government said they redefined marriage. So now it don't have to be a man and a woman. No, a man and a man can get married. A woman and a woman can get married. You know? And they say it's about health care and benefits and this, that, and another. You can get health care and benefits without being married. So it ain't about that. It ain't about that. It's a total affront to God. That's the only thing it's ever been about.
Most our word says be fruitful and multiply. If you get those two people together, two men together, two women together, they'll never multiply nothing but AIDS and everything that he talks about. Because the thing about it is Satan is one is actually leading them, and that's what he actually follows.
Go check the line. You know. Yeah, we still got the I think brother trying to chime in, I think. But I don't know how to work this. We might have a technical support team just walked in. Right, you know, Yahweh sent us help. Yeah. Like he always does. Hallelujah. Oh, no. That's fine. Well, brothers, sound like you're going to be getting me and Mario tonight. Because I don't know how to work it. Forgive me. We're looking for the thing where it brings up Yeah, we're forgive us. But all right. But like we were talking, the madness led to the blindness. So because our situation was the same and we never turned back to the Most High, we became mad. And then our madness turned into blindness where this is all we can see. And now, because we're blinded to the Most High, anybody can just push anything on top of us. Because it was at one point, you know, our communities and stuff like that was a lot more tight-knit. All right. So we going from madness. It said back to verse 28. It says, Yahweh shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Now, this word is number 8541, and it's timahon, and it means to be astonished, to be bewildered, stupefaction means to be stupid, make you dumb down your heart. So look at what's happening with the people. You're in a state of madness, right, where all this stuff is happening to you. Then you go into a state of blindness because of your circumstance not changing. That's it. Oh, Abba, Abba. Hold on, but Yahweh sends us our help. We can now see if you want to chime in. So, Yahweh sends us, okay, madness, then you go into a state of blindness. Now you're in a state of astonishment, which is a stupefaction or a dumbing down of something, of your heart, he says. So now, like you said, we just blindly accept things. And because we blindly accept things, we get dumb with it. You know? How could we just blindly accept gay marriage? How can we just blindly accept homosexuality and all this stuff within these churches when the God that you say you serve says he don't accept these things? How can you accept these gay preachers? How can you accept these female preachers, these female ministers? You know? But everybody wants to argue and they're being stupefied. You know, they're being bewildered because people will go within the word and try to justify their wrongdoings. Our brother Matatya has joined us. See, Yahweh is sending us help. You know, y'all just didn't want to hear Brother Daywell, Brother Mario all night. So, we have astonishment of heart. Verse 29. And it says, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save you. So you have us looking for something, because when you're groping for something, that word, number 4959, that word is mashash, and it means to feel, by implication, to grope. So you're searching for something. In the middle of the day, you're searching for something. You're trying to feel your way out of this. You're searching. But it's the daytime, but you're groping like you're blind. Because of all these things, as a blind man feels around his house, you know, blind people have their house set up a certain way. And they can tell, you know, because they move around and this, that, and another. If you move something in their house, it messes them up because they're so used to stuff being in a certain spot because they feel, they can't see. So now we're in that state where we're looking. We're like blind people. We're looking for something, but we can't see. You know, we're looking for something. And we're not prospering because we have eyes, but we can't use them because we're as blind people. You know, he said, you're not going to prosper in any of your ways. You're only going to be oppressed. And that's what you see with us. We're not the head. We are the tail, and everybody takes advantage of us, and we look for ways out of it. We have the what do the black people have to do meetings. We have the how to empower black people meetings. We have the let's get together and do this stuff because we're black meetings. We have all these meetings, marches, boycotts, sit-ins, this, that, and another, and we're still oppressed. We're constantly oppressed, and the oppression never stops because we're still feeling around like blind people.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to read three scriptures. I'm going to go to Job 5:14 first, and the scriptures say, they meet with darkness in the daytime and group in the noonday as in the night. The second scripture I'm going to go to is Job 12:25. They group in the darkness without light, and he makes them to stagger like a drunken man. And you can see most of our people that's out there today looking like zombies staggering all over the place. Like they drunk, like a blind leading a blind. And then I want to go to this last scripture, Isaiah 59:10. We group for the wall like the blind, and we group as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate place as dead men.
What are they talking about, you know, especially the last one? They were in captivity. These people were going in captivity, broken for the wall, stumbling over different things. When you deal with Isaiah, you know, but we're only being oppressed. And that word is Ashak, number 6231. When you talk about oppression, you're talking about somebody who's just taking advantage of you constantly, who's benefiting from you on a constant basis, continually. It doesn't stop. Everybody comes in out into the black community and makes money. Everybody, from the Indian man to the Asian man, the white man, the African man, it doesn't make a difference. They come here, they come into our communities and make money, the Jewish man, everybody. And they constantly oppress us. You have the media that constantly oppresses us, like the brother was talking about with those Jordans. They don't see that as oppression. You spending $200 on a pair of tennis, it ain't going to benefit you at all, but you got to have it. They don't see the things that these rappers put out there and the stuff that the media puts out there, Calvin Klein and Tommy Hilfiger and Timberland, all this expensive stuff as oppression. Fashion is oppression. Trying to keep up with the Joneses, that's oppression. Because you got to work your behind off. You're not getting any benefit of it. And you're being oppressed. Because if you don't have Jordans, the kids tease you. If you don't have nice name brand Timberland boots or whatever, the kids tease you. Your own people tease you. Then you find out a lot of these people don't even like black folks. You know, the Timberland symbol, from what I've read from the CEO speaking, he said that's the symbol of the tree that they used to hang the Negroes on. But he ain't say Negroes. That's what that tree represents. Michael Kors says he can't stand to think about some black woman having a weave in one of his bags. First of all, once she bought it, it ain't your bag no more. What she put in it is hers. So nobody wants, they want our money, but they don't want us. You know, it's sort of like what Paul Mooney said. that don't even apply here. But they'll gladly take our money and oppress us. You know, Michael Jordan, $200 for a pair of tennis shoes. $200. And not a dime of that is going back into the communities that he's taking from, stealing from, and oppressing. Matter of fact, he putting his money in jails. So the same people that buy those $200 tennis shoes is the ones that they, in a lot of cases, unjustly stick in those jails. So he's making money hand over foot. We are being oppressed and spoiled, just like the word said. We're being robbed, as the word spoiled, number 1497, Gazal, to, and it means to pluck off, specifically to flay, strip, or rob. That's what they're doing to us. They're stripping us of our money, stripping us of our dignity, stripping us of our livelihood, and in a lot of cases, stripping us of our life. Because like we said, police brutality didn't stop. The killings and drugs and stuff like that didn't stop. You know, they flooded the ghettos with crack, and we continue to use it, and we continue to sell it. We didn't bring it there. The guy, Freeway Ricky Ross, the real one, talks about how the government actually did that. How they was the ones who put crack in the government, cocaine in the government, I mean, in the hood. They did that. And it says, and thou shalt only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. So why are we still looking for the government to save us? You know, everybody makes that joke about Obama. When Obama get in office, we got a black president now. I'm going to have me a slave. You know, everybody make this joke. Like when Obama got in office, all of a sudden, everything was going to be grand with black people. All of a sudden, we're going to finally get our 40 acres and a mule. We're going to get reparations. We're going to get the nice picket fence. Everything is going to be great. No. Under his administration, we have suffered more violence, more brutalities than under others. You know? It didn't get better for us because no man can save us. It's not for a man to save us. It's for Yahweh to save us. He's our Savior, and that's it. Outside of him, he said, outside of me, there is no Savior. Flat out. Ain't nobody going to save you. Why you keep calling to them? Because they ain't going to save you. They can't save you. So we got madness, blindness, oppression, astonishment of heart. We're being spoiled. Move on down to verse 30. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Now, we can apply all that to slavery. We can. To the T, you know, when you look at the things that what happened in the transatlantic slave trade, how Massa would come and take this man's wife, take the slave's wife. And I think I think the movie Roots did that real good. Well, not the first one, but, you know, as it went on, they had the part where Kizzy grew up a little bit and a man was trying to betroth her, but Master was laying with Kissy, you know? And he says, you think I don't know Master lay with you? But I love you anyway. But this was his betrothed. This was the woman he was supposed to marry. And these things happen. Now look at the black community. You got regular dudes laying with another man's wife. Never mind the slavery. Up now, adultery is a big thing now, a very big thing. If you look on, I've looked on YouTube. It's a guy named Tyrone who walks around on YouTube and tells people that he wants to have sex with their wife. Literally. And talking to one of the dudes on my job, he says that stuff really happens, that people is letting their wife lay with this man. madness. More help sent from Yahweh. So, our brother Shabal just stepped in the building, you know. But that's what's going on. You know, straight madness. We wives are being betrothed. Other people are laying with them. You know, back then, now. Now, a lot of women are stepping out on their husbands. A lot of husbands are stepping out on their wives. There's no loyalty there no more. And think about it. Is this one of the effects of them altering marriage? You know, when you say, when they redefine marriage and now they lessen the importance of it by letting a man marry a man and a woman marry a woman, did it affect people like, well, you know, my husband, this, that, and another, you know, a man can lay with a man. Marriage really isn't that important. Did it affect people in a way that they could, that they didn't foresee? You know, because now that anybody can get married, did it affect people in a way that they didn't foresee?
Shalom, family. I would just to pick up on that point, the proof is like, if you just look at us, how, you know, how light all of us are, you know what I'm saying? It's showing you how basically slave master had his way with our mothers, pretty much. I mean, for the most part, that's why you look at basically everywhere we are, we lighter than we used to be, you know what I'm saying? And that just shows you how, like you said, they just had it their way, you know, with our mothers. And the fathers couldn't do nothing. You know, I forget, I think it was, I don't know if y'all seen Goodbye Uncle Tom. Y'all seen Goodbye Uncle Tom? You seen Goodbye Uncle Tom, so you know. You seen that? You ain't said, well, that's a rough one. That's like Roots on steroids. Like, if you really want to see how rough it was. And, you know, I think that was the movie, or it was, I don't know if it was that Django movie, but it was one of the movies showing slavery, how, you know, the master would just knock on the door, and the husband basically had to just get out the bed and leave. Master go in the little shed or whatever, had his way, and it wasn't nothing he could say. And for the woman, that probably was the most demoralizing thing, to have her husband, basically, nobody to protect them. So she felt, you know, like it wasn't nobody to protect her. If her own husband, you know what I'm saying, just basically had to get out the way and let the slave, that's probably the, one of the worst feelings that somebody ever had for her. If you really think about it, how brutal that was. And only like a savage beast would do something like that. That's like an inhumane, like I can't even, that's like you wouldn't do your worst enemy like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like the Most High, you know, his word is true. And it ain't, once you utter a thing, that's what it is. So for disobedience, even if it was that horrible, you know, that was what the punishment was. So we had to live through that.
I mean, to think about it now, up in this point, and this is before Israel had their issues and everything up until now, because Moses saw it. But he's saying this, thou shalt betroth a wife and another man go and lay with them. But think about Israel after the fact and how they laid with all these other gods. You know, think about how we laid with Baal or Peor and Molech and pick one, and how we continue to lay with Jesus and Allah, all these different gods. Now we laying with Vishnu and Jesus and all the gods of Egypt again. You know, so y'all went out there and y'all laid, and now physically speaking, you're going to lay, you know, men, your wife is going to lay with another man. Why? You cheated on me. So physically speaking, this stuff is going to happen to you. You know? He says, You're going to betroth a wife, and another man shall live with her. You're going to build a house, and thou shalt not dwell in it. At one point, and again, like you said, back to slavery, we built those houses that master lived. He wasn't doing home improvement. He wasn't. He got his slaves to build that house. They couldn't live in the house. It was just a couple of them that lived in the house. The light-skinned ones, you know, you had the field niggas and the house niggas. So some of the house niggas stayed in the house, but a lot of those house niggas was getting raped, you know, because there was a lot of stuff Master was doing to the men and the women in that house. But the field niggas was building, and they stayed in shacks. They stayed in the outhouses. They stayed in the stuff away from there. Bring it up to date now. It was a lot of black men, a lot of black women who built up America. Even to the buildings that they have out in the county, the nice houses. But they cost so much, there's no way that you would ever be able to live in them. You're talking about $450,000 house, $500,000 house. You can't live in that. You didn't make that type of money back in the 50s and the 60s. Probably don't make it today. A lot of black folks don't make it today. But you build it. Areas is constantly being developed with black men and Mexicans building these houses that they'll never be able to live in. $1 million houses. You know, especially now, and now it's a more built up area, the Northern Virginia area, right out on the outskirts of D.C. Places like Culpeper and Falls Church, Virginia, that's real close to D.C., which at one time was nothing but woods. In Baltimore, in the state of Maryland, we had this place called Edgewood, which at one time wasn't nothing but woods, wasn't nothing out there. But they developed that land out there. And at one time, black folks wasn't living out there. Now they stuck them out there. You know, so we build houses that we can't live in. We built a nation that don't want us, and we can't live in this nation. We don't have a piece of the quote unquote American dream, you know, because that's what it is. It's a dream. Our reality is what it is, that we will not be accepted. He says, and thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Again, who was doing the work on the farm? You want to talk about a vineyard, you want to talk about cotton, picking watermelon, picking whatever. It wasn't our vineyard, that was Master's vineyard. We wasn't benefiting from the work. He got rich off of that. Again, oppression.
And I feel like it's still like that today. If you really rail with it, as far as how, you know, the slave labor going on right now, pretty much. You know, we work on things that we never ourselves will use or can't afford. You know what I'm saying? So, and then like you say, take it back from there. The whole country was built off of free labor, and it's now they look at you like you funny, like what you doing here, when we built the thing from the start, you know. And it's like, I feel like it's Yahweh's will that it was to be that way, you know. Like you said a couple verses back, when you say no man is going to save us, and I feel like that too is because he wants to get the glory, you know. So nobody else can take credit for helping the Negroes or saving the Negro. He wanted to be the one to deliver us, you know what I'm saying? So, and let the world know that it's by his hand that all this happened in the first place. You know, and not like you said, but that's just another way the scriptures is true. You know how you can't tell me, you can't, it's almost like a movie, you can't make this up. Everything you read, it's almost like airy, like, it's like, you know, that's the whole slave experience, you know, and it's like we had to eat basically the trash and the leftovers. We didn't get the stuff like we say that we were planting, that we was growing, even the cotton for the clothes we didn't get to wear.
Right.
So it's like, you know, the Most High is really showing us and dealing with us on a level like, this is how I feel like this is how important you are to me. You know, because he take time out his word to really just tell our history and our future. You know what I'm saying? It's like, give us the right to choose, like, choose life or death, you know? So, you know, it's for me, it's amazing, you know, just to think about how our ancestors for basically 300 years, you know, give or take, worked for free. We didn't get to eat, drink, none of the stuff that they was harvest or plant. And we were the ones that had the skill in the first place.
Right.
You know the story of the European coming over here. He didn't have the knowledge of anything. You know, the natives here saved his life. He ended up killing them. And then he used our skill to build the country. Because he ain't know nothing about Europe. They had Irish potato. I knew they knew how to grow potatoes. You know what I'm saying? But it's all of the other stuff that came up. Then over here, that was from our skill and our labor, you know, and the knowledge that we had. It wasn't that they were just picking random slaves because of muscle mass. They was looking at the ones that was intelligent enough to be able to manufacture the goods. So, you know, that's another part of it that, you know, it was the wisdom the Most High put in us that they were benefiting off of as well.
I mean, we even think about with 12 years of slave. What they did, they separated. They had this guy with the muscle mass, but the guy Solomon, he was an engineer. You know, he was an engineer, and he was touted for being able to play a fiddle. But when he showed his engineering skills, that made him even more valuable to the slave master. You know, because he figured out, he's like, man, we can ride these logs down here. You sure, Solomon? Yeah, look. I was an engineer back in New York. I'm not your average slave, basically. He was trying to show his worth. But and he showed his worth to the master that was semi-nice to him. You know, he was nice enough to cut him down when they hung him, when nobody else would. But, you know, but that's the type, and it's like that today. You know, they separate us by intelligence. They take the best and the brightest and indoctrinate them. So it's always keeping us in a state of oppression because now these dudes think they're better than us, you know, better than the average Negro or the average black man just because somebody said that you're a little bit smarter. Oh, you're a little bit stronger. You can jump a little bit higher. You can sing a little bit better. They take the gifts that Yahweh gave them and make them feel like they're better or they're greater than their brother. And they're not. You're not greater. You just sing a little bit better. Because at the end of the day, Yahweh is still the Savior. He's the only Savior. And when they turn on you, which they will, because as soon as you can't make them a dime anymore, they turn on you. That's how Satan is. He uses you up and then gets to discard you. You know, it's a lot of people who had millions, made millions in this world and went broke. You know. But he says, you're not going to gather. He says, thou shalt plant a vineyard and shall not gather the grapes thereof. Verse 31, shall be slain before thine eyes.
and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thy donkey shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thy enemies, and thou shalt have none of them, none to rescue them. So now you got the beast of burdens. Because when you talk about the ox, that's a beast of burden. You talk about the donkey, that's a beast of burden. They're going to be taken away from you. So now you got to do the work. You got to plow the field, break up the land. Because you don't have a donkey to do it. We're going to eat that ox. And that donkey, we're going to take it away. You're going to, as the words say, rigorous labor. They was put to work. They were put to task. You know? That's the thing that was happening with them. Now, as the brother said, look at how a lot of us work very hard for some stuff that we ain't going to ever own. Like myself, I work very hard for a multi-million-dollar company. I ain't going to ever have a party. I ain't going to ever have a party. You know? And when I die or cannot do the job anymore, I get replaced. That's all to it. I get replaced. And it's like that for millions of men, millions of women who are of color in this, because we don't own anything. Our ox, our donkey, taken from us. Our labor, taken from us. At one time, we had corner stores in the hood. At one time, all the in our neighborhood was black people. Here come the Asian man. Here come the Jewish man. Here comes everybody. Everybody realizes their talent. Everybody realizes that we spend money. You know, we part with money very easily. Fake hair is a multi-billion-dollar business. Women spend billions of dollars on hair that they ain't theirs, that they didn't grow, and you grow hair for free. If you want straight hair, straighten your hair. It's that simple. You grow it for free. You don't have to spend $100. And now some of these people spend $200 on somebody else's hair. You know, we part with money very, very easily and won't never have a part of it. No black person, I think it's like one, because I think Chris Rock did the documentary called Good Hair. I think it was only one black shop that could get a part of the fake hair business. Everybody else was Korean or Asian, and they wouldn't let them in. You know, they actually denied taking this woman money, you know, he says, thy sheep shall be given unto thy enemy, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Verse 32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto people, and thy eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hands. Again, think about one of the slaves, 12 years of the slave, when they separated, it was the woman there, and they took her son from her. And what she was asking is, yo, if you're going to take one, take the other, or take me with her. You know, don't take her son. And they took her son. Her son was sold to one man. She was sold to another man. And there was nothing she could do about it. And all the guy Solomon could do was play the fiddle, try to calm her down. And that woman mourned for her child for years, it seemed like, within that movie. Mourned for her child. You know? And Solomon's like, look, man, you need to move on. She's like, hold up. My son got taken away from me. How can I move on? They literally tore her son from out of her hands. You know? And these are the things that went on. Now think about it. You have some people nowadays who willingly give up their kids. They have a child, and they take them to the adoption spots. They willingly give up their kids, where a lot of times they don't have to tear them out their arms anymore. You didn't have this baby for 9 months. Now you're sticking them in the trash can. I think one of the best songs ever to me was Tupac's song called Brenda Had a Baby, where he describes all the things that was going on with this young girl named Brenda. And one of the things that she did was she stuck the baby in the trash. And that happened in life, you know. You can read stories about people finding children in trash cans. You know, because they got pregnant and they didn't realize the value of that child's life, you know. Just like these oppressors, see, they didn't care about the child's life. They didn't care about the value of that child's life because Yahweh said that they are those type of people. He's going to send these type of people who's not going to have any regard for you. Young, old, male, female. He's not going to have any type of regard for you. You know? So they didn't have an issue ripping your child from out of your hands and taking them to another plantation where they did only Yahweh knows what to them. Because like you say, a lot of the one part of the whole slave thing was the effeminization of men and them raping the slave men and them sodomizing those slave men. That's the part of slavery they don't talk about. But I do think they do touch on that part in that movie you was talking about. You know? But that's the part of the slavery nobody talks about. They talk about the whippings and us working on the fields and this, that, and another. But this is a really deep thing that happened with us because of disobedience, you know, and it still affects us to this day. It still affects us to this day. We cannot get from out under the thumb of the oppressor. They just switched the game up a little bit, you know. Now the plantations, Walmart is the plantation. In my case, ShopRite is the plantation. You know, wherever you work at, you work for these big business, that's the plantation now, you know. And they say they give you what's called benefits that you have to pay for, and a lot of times you can't even afford, you know. So they just switch the game up a little bit. But getting back to that, can you imagine, like you were talking about, the woman, a person taking that child with, and how long that's the seed that was growing within her. You know, she carried that baby for 9 months and it's gone. It's just snatched away from her. You know, better than that. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, it's just being snatched away from her. You know, and now to the point. Bring it up a little bit. They're giving it up now. They give up their seed. Willingly.
Just want to share a story real quick. A lot of people are familiar with the story, but it's about
speaking of just taking our seeds from us and we don't have no power to stop it, the story of the lady named Mary Turner, and it was 1918. And I got like a little clip that says, Mary Turner, 20 years of age, she was 8 months pregnant. The baby was cut out of her body to see if it was mixed. He was lynched alongside her husband, Hayes Turner, 19 years of age. It says this lynching prompted the Billie Holiday song about strange fruit. But so if you think about it, that was happening then, like almost on a normal basis, like as far as the children were just being bred like animals, pretty much. So it was like this mother basically had to have these children, and with the intent knowing that I'm never gonna be able to, you know, basically see my child, and it's basically gonna be just another slave sold off when it's old enough. You know what I'm saying? And I can imagine that after that happened so much, your heart turned cold, and it's just a bad situation. Even if you look today, you mentioned the sisters giving away their children, but you got like child protective services. That in a lot of instances, you know, the child shouldn't be removed from the home, but they take that authority and take the child anyway and put them in foster homes where it's way worse than it would have been if they just would stay with their parents. You know what I'm saying? So the scripture is real. Like, you know, so it was happening then, and pretty much it's still happening. You know, the scripture don't specifically put it this way, but you can also look at how, you know, mothers' sons are being taken from them, you know, by the police or by other ones, and they ain't got no power to stop that either. You know, so it's you know, we still up under it. You know, it hasn't been lifted from us yet, you know. And the psychological aspect of the slavery part, it got to kind of derange and it kind of had to derange, you know what I'm saying? Because they say that when your mind is traumatized, you kind of put the trauma in a certain part of your brain to help you cope with life. And if you figure so many generations are going through that, it's no wonder Black people got a right mind right now, that we're not just in the nut house for real. You know what I'm saying? That and you got Europeans that's like, you know, well, get over it already. Why are you still talking about it? You know what I'm saying? It's like, to me, like reading that story right there, like I heard that story, but I just got that picture. And if you see the picture, got the sister hanging there, and they cut the baby out, I'm like, come on. How you going to be like, stop talking about it? And then like he was talking about the sex farms. It basically, that's what it was. It was a sex farm. And for y'all who didn't see Goodbye Uncle Tom, it's like a scene in a movie where they basically in this room and they got all the boys painted in makeup and lipstick, and they painted them in gold and silver, and they put earrings on them, making them, you know, right, effeminate. And then you got the little wicked sodomite coming in there, and he checking and seeing which one he wants. That kind of stuff, like, what is that? Like, that's sick, like, you know what I'm saying? That's beyond sick. And so for us to even be here, you know, if it wasn't for the Most High, we would just be in the house, just banging our head against the wall, just done, you know, as a people, you know. But we, Most High, you know, through His mercy, brought us through, you know what I'm saying? And I have to believe that we're on the tail end of all of this, you know, but it's horrible. That's horrible.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of the lynching, they just hung a boy down in North Carolina about 3 years ago, and the young boy, about, I think he was 12 or 13 years old at the time. I can't remember his name. He was in North Carolina, and the Justice Department or the DA down there, the police department tried to cover it up. But then the feds got into it. And what they said was this young boy, about 12, 13 years old, he was hung with a dog chain. And they wrapped the dog chain around his throat and hung him from on the playground. and he said his feet were about an inch off the ground. You know, and the police department tried to cover it up. But the lynchings never stopped. You know, the way they felt about us and the things that they've been doing to us never stopped. And, you know, it's not going to stop until we turn back to the Most High. You know, it's not going to stop until we turn back to the Most High. We'll continue to read about people getting killed, as a Harbel brought out this Shabbat. They just murdered, there was another police shooting here in Baltimore where they didn't say anything about it. They didn't put it on the TV or anything like that. A cop pulled somebody over, stopped him for his seatbelt, and killed the man over a routine traffic stop. You know, and these things are going on, and it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop until we turn back to Most High. That's the only answer, because we didn't look everywhere else. You know, we didn't look. It's like Eddie Murphy sung that, looking for nothing, all the wrong pieces, back in the day. Well, we've been looking for the answers in all the wrong places. And, you know, the only place that only person who has the answer is Yahweh. But that's the one that we don't want to go to. Verse 33. Pardon me, family. Pulling messed up a little bit. Verse 33. It says, "The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see." Brother pointed out earlier, we built the country. We built it up. We didn't get any benefits of it. And, you know, one of the things Martin Luther King said in his speech that they never put on this part, the beginning of his speech. They always show the part where he has a dream and all this, that, and another, let freedom ring. But he talks about, at the beginning, he talks about the bad check, cashing in on a bad check. But one of the things that he says is that the black man is in poverty in a great sea of wealth. Meaning it's a lot of money out there for everybody, but we live in poverty. Well, why is that? Is it because we disobeyed the Most High? And we keep on getting oppressed, because oppressed people, you can't name one oppressed people that live good on the planet. Not one. You got the Hutus and the Tutsis. The ones that was being oppressed was not living good. Pick a nation in Africa. Look at Sierra Leone. And to me, that is mind-boggling. It is the third poorest country in the world. The third poorest country in the world, but it's a top 10 exporter of diamonds, gold, and all your exotic woods, your teaks, your myrtles, your wood that costs $30 and $40 a foot is found in this country. But it's the third poorest country in the world. This is a country where women literally go out to their backyard, dig up in their backyard and find gold. There's gold sitting in their backyard. But this is the third poorest country in the world. Why? The people are oppressed. They're not living good over there. Even though the biggest diamond, they found a 1,400 carat diamond in this country. Third poorest country in the world. You know? and we, and for all our labors, we are oppressed continuously. It don't matter how hard we work, we are going to be oppressed continuously. You know, Chris Rock said something about, he made that joke about being rich and being wealthy. He said, Shaquille O'Neal was rich, but the guy who signed Shaquille O'Neal's check is wealthy. You know, there's a difference. And think about it. How many of these former basketball players that is identified with a team have stock in that team? Making them rich. They made them rich. Michael Jordan made the Chicago Bulls a lot of money. He don't have stock in it at all. He ain't got a piece of it. I think Magic got a little piece of it. He got like 5% or something like that. He got a little piece of it. Michael Jordan had to actually go. He bought stock in the Washington Wizards at one point in his career. He was a player owner when he went to play for the Wizards, but they made him sell his stock. And then when he went to buy it back, they said, Negro, you ain't getting part of this. We'll let you play for us. But once you step back on that floor, we saw what you were, even though you're a billionaire. So he had to go get the Pelicans. The Pelicans ain't worth near as much as the Wizards. Any team in D.C., they don't even have to win. It's just the fact that they're located in D.C. makes them a lot of money. The Redskins ain't been winning in years. One of the most profitable franchises in the NFL. They up there with the Cowboys just because they're located in D.C., in the capital. You don't see what's the black quarterback name? Doug Williams ain't got a piece of the Redskins. Look at all the great black receivers there. Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, all the great black players that they had ain't got a piece of it. Not at all. They ain't got a one share in the Redskins. None. Not a share. They had to stick Doug Williams. Doug Williams had to go back to Grambling. That's where he coached at. He was coaching at Grambling. He won the Super Bowl. What have you done for me lately? Like, yeah, we didn't sell all the Doug Williams jerseys we can. You got to go. He said, and thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. Yeah, we built this country, and yet you treat us like this. So, yeah, we're going to be upset about that. Yeah. But why are we upset? Yahweh said it would be this way. He said it would be this way. You know, Do the Right Thing was a really good, a really good movie. That man was getting rich off of the neighborhood. He said he wanted a piece of pizza. Can't you stay open a little bit? I mean, put some black people on my wall. That's what it was about. You would think that would be something nice to do. I'm making all this money off of black people. You know, I understand your Italian heritage and this, that, and another. But you making money off of us. Now, the Asians, you'll see that inside of their stores. You'll see their little pictures with all the black people that come inside their store. You know, they'll put it up there. But go
ahead. Just a scripture to add to what we're talking about as far as our condition and the wealth of the nation. I'm reading out of Romans 11, verse 11. He says, and I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall, Yah forbid. But rather through their fall, talking about Israel, is come unto the Gentiles, has salvation come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So it's showing you that because we fell, the world became rich because of Al being, you know, diminishing or Al fall. So that just goes to show you that according to the word, by we knowing that for us, who is Israel, we know that according to the word, it would be impossible for Israel and identifying, you know, the curses and even the blessings for them to be a wealthy nation right now. It would be impossible according to the scriptures. They would have to be at the bottom of society according to the scriptures, according to what Deuteronomy say and according to what Brother Paul say, that until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, which the Messiah talk about, Revelations talk about, until that time is fulfilled, Israel is going to be on the bottom. And that's the wealth of the nations. By them being on the bottom, the nations are receiving their portion right now. And when the kingdom is handed back over to the Israelites, the Gentiles are going to receive their portion, you know. But just to tie it in, that by our disobedience, all of this came about, you know. By our disobedience, this is what it is. So the only thing left is to turn back to the Most High.
Shalom, family. While the brothers were speaking, that's what came to my mind, Numbers 32:20. I'm going to read that scripture if I can find it. Numbers 32. Well, he said, because of the disobedience and not adhering to the word of the Most High, that's the results that we live in. Excuse me, Numbers 32:23 said, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against Yahweh, and be sure your sin will find you out. that's what we're going through now, in the state that we're going through, because he also is everything comes back to my mind, going back to the garden. And like the brother said, these curses that we live in present, modern time right now, the so-called black man, is evident. You can see the tails, the signs, because like he said, we're at the bottom. Like the show first came on, Deuteronomy 28 said, the brother mentioned, he said, the tail, we're not the head anymore. We once the head, as he gave in the curses, as he laid them out in Deuteronomy 28 and in Leviticus 26. Therefore, he told us what we have to do, what we need to do. And if you look at it, he's not bringing anything on us. We're bringing it on ourselves, like Numbers 32:23 said, because as we go back to the Mount Sinai, we go back to the mountain, when the Ten Commandments was given, they said, we'll listen, but you don't talk to us. You tell Moshe. So these things that Moshe have heard, going all the way back to the garden, that mankind have heard from the Most High himself, telling Adam, the day you eat from the tree, these things will happen to you. And if we see like the curses with the land, how the land is suffering because of Adam's curse for not listening, and it just going up to modern times. It came up to Israel. And he told him in Leviticus chapter 26, he told him that don't do these things seven times, I will put plagues on you. I will put these things on you. So as always, it reminds us, we know that Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So there's no getting out of that. And to show Yahweh's mercy and his love and his righteousness, Israel have to go through these curses. But the brother made a good point. We're low in the economical scale, everything. You know, we're the bottom, we're the tail. But when we turn back to the Most High, those same signs and proverbs that show that we are the cursed of Israel, we're the cursed of Yahweh, excuse me, when we turn back the ways that Yahweh say, go back to his laws, commandments, and statutes, signs also will show that we are the chosen of the Most High to be the kingdom of priests, as he told us we'd be, the holy nation to teach the other nations those Gentiles. They're thinking that because they had this wealth or this position now, it's not eternal, it's temporal. It goes both ways. He's only using you like as his tool, as his weapon of obedience, because he chastised those whom he loved. So that came to my mind because I think it was Deuteronomy 8 I was reading. Phone I want to act up right now. But Deuteronomy 8, it came to my mind when Yahweh was telling them, when you obey me and you come into the land, you possess this land. This land has running brooks. This land has anything you need for you to sustain and live a good life. And it's, but we have to be that wife. He betrothed, like we mentioned earlier in the show. We have to do those things. He used that analogy so we can see the covenant. Yahweh is a covenant God. So he can't allow a covenant to be broken and someone has to rebuild it to keep it going, because he wouldn't be loved if the covenant just got broken. Whoa, that's it. That's like when Moshe said, this is the people that you brought out, and you're going to do that to them? So what we're seeing now is for people to take the word and look at the word like we're told. Prove all things. Use it for rebuke, correction, uplifting, to walk in the light of Yah. So we take the word and we see what group of people out here fit these curses. Bam, there they are. Same way that those signs are there, but when that group of people turn back to him, he has to have the blessing come down. When he said, I'll open up a window, prove me, I'll open up a window and give you blessings that you can't. It will turn, and no person can stop that. We've learned that. Whatever door Yahweh opened, no man can close it. Whatever door Yahweh closed, no man can open. And we know that's talking about that strong man when he was talking, using the parables when he was speaking. You know he's talking about Hasatan trying to continue to keep things bound and oppressed. But we remember Yahshua won that back in the wilderness, and he completed it. That was the beginning, and he completed it at Calvary. So it's still showing us, turn back to the word of the Most High, the righteousness. This is your wisdom. This is your knowledge. This is your strength. But if you don't do these things, this is the results, and it's written right there for us. But we had an antidote. That's what we had to use to get out. That's what we had to long and hunger for, because if not, we're just like brother brought out earlier. We're groping, like in the new, walking around. I heard one of the brothers say while I was on my way over here, saying like blind leading the blind. You're walking around in noonday where you should be able to see. You can't see. He told you the effects of the sin. The wages of sin is death. You know, surely, we didn't surely die. Some didn't surely die, but you see the effects. The effects of sin. And then Yahweh letting us see that. He said, don't fear the man that can kill just the body. Fear the man that can kill the soul. The effects of sin causes all these plagues and curses and things, like he said, because he also said, I'm going to make your land. I can't find the verse. It slipped my mind while I was talking. But the same way he mentioned in Deuteronomy 28:22, I'm going to make your land iron, the sky's iron, and your land brass. He also said that in Deuteronomy when he told him, when you take and possess the land. So that's what made me really feel those, when we turn back to the Most High, like Brother Matayah said, we turn back to him because of the disobedience that we've done, he can reverse those things, because that's what the purpose of taking us, Israel, our forefathers, to the promised land from out of Egypt. It was a land that was rich in substance and things like that, but that wasn't the promised land. That wasn't it. That was the counterfeit. That's the thing everybody longing for, like bringing up to modern day time. Like I heard the brother on my way, we're talking about the Jordan. I heard a brother mention about houses and stuff. Those things, you can obtain those things, but are they taking you from the Most High? If it gets in the way to take you from the Most High, then those things, prove all things, hold fast to those is good, and abstain for those that's not good.
All right. Well, we read verse 34.
We're going to stop here tonight, family. Do anybody have anything we want to close out with? All right. Well, family, thank you for joining us. It was an interesting night. So we had technical difficulties, but, you know, Yahweh is our help, and he sends it when we need it. If you were trying to chime in, I'm sorry, brothers. I just don't know how to switch. I really don't. I gotta step my blog talk game up, and we're gonna get it done. But we're gonna have one of the brothers close out with a prayer.
Hallelujah.
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 Toda Rabaya. For another good study. I pray, y'all, that the saints be within y'all and just call us to remembrance the things that we individualize need to do. Turning back to you, Father, because we make up the whole. We just ask you, Heavenly Father, let the brothers travel safely back to their destinations, wherever they may be, y'all. The brothers that's listening, bless their families and their households. Bless the Okotis and their households. We just thank you, Father, for this message that came forth. My spirit was filled. I pray the other brothers and sisters who heard were as well. We just thank you in the sign, Yahshua. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on. You know what I'm saying? Because